ज्ञानञ्जनशलाकाय चक्षुरुन्मीलितं येन तस्मै श्रीगुरवे नमः नमः ॐ विष्णुपादाय कृष्णप्रेष्ठाय भूतले श्रीमते भक्तिवेदान्तस्वामिनीति नामिने नमस्ते सरस्वते देवे गौरवाणी प्रचारिणे निर्विशेष शून्यवादी पश्चात्तेषुधारिणे जय श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानंद श्री अद्वैत गदाधर शिवासादि गौर भक्तवृंद हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे हरे We're continuing with our perpetual reading of the Srimad Bhagavatam Canto 7, Chapter 3. And the name of the chapter is Hiranyakashipu's Plan to Become Immortal. So this is will be interesting. Everyone has some plan here in the material world, but later on we find in the prayers of Prahlad Maharaj, who is the son of Hiranyakashipu, that he notes, after seeing Hiranyakashipu's plan, and that seemed to almost work at one point, and then it all come crashing down within a moment by the power of Lord Nrsingadev, that there's no use in making plans in the material world, and that in and of itself is such a powerful lesson from this whole lila, that this plan-making process is so exhausting and so frustrating that one can drop it, just like you tell a dog, drop it. When the mind gets a story or a plan, you say, just drop it. And develop plans based on Guru, Sadhu, and Shastra and test them over and over again and make sure, are these plans according to Guru, Sadhu, and Shastra? If they're not, then sand them down, readjust them, or drop them altogether, because they won't lead to success. Yashastra vinamutsrija vartate kamakarata nasa sasidhim avapnoti nasukam na param gatim. Krishna says, if you don't base any of your plans on Shastra, then they won't lead to happiness, perfection, success in any way, in any realm. So we're about to hear how Hiranyakashipu enacts his plan with all energy, and we can learn that because it's a failure, we can also give up any plans we have for staying here in the material world or gaining some kind of advantage in the material world, because it won't last. The only advantage is one's use of free will to surrender to Krishna and to willfully continue the process of devotional service, even in the face of the onslaught of suffering, misery, reversals of the material energy, which is what you get by being in the material world. Everyone gets that. So the way to overcome it is to go on with devotional service. And this hearing and chanting process, Shravanam Kirtanam, is the topmost. And the Srimad Bhagavatam is the topmost. So congratulations to everyone who's called in tonight. Please, with attention, take in this beautiful vibration and may it purify our hearts and lead us back home, back to Godhead in the eternal service of Radha and Govinda. Gopremanande Haribo. Text 1. Shri Naradu Vacha Hiranyakashipu Rajan Apeyam Ajaramaram Atmanam Apratidvandvam Ekarajam Vyaditsava. Narada Muni said to Maharaj Yudhishthira, the demoniac king Hiranyakashipu wanted to be unconquerable and free from old age and dwindling of the body. He wanted to gain all the yogic perfections like anima and laghima, to be deathless, and to be the only king of the entire universe, including Brahmaloka. Purport. Such are the goals of the austerities performed by demons. Hiranyakashipu wanted to receive a benediction from Lord Brahma so that in the future he would be able to conquer Lord Brahma's abode. Similarly, another demon received a benediction from Lord Shiva but later wanted to kill Lord Shiva through the same benediction. Thus, self-interested persons by demoniac austerity want to kill even their benedictors, whereas the Vaishnav wants to remain an ever-existing servant of the Lord and never to occupy the post of the Lord. Through Sayuja Mukti, which is generally demanded by asuras, one merges into the existence of the Lord, but although one sometimes thus achieves the goal of the theory of monism, one falls down again to struggle in material existence. Text 2. Satepe mandara dronyam tapa paramadarunam urdva bahur nabo drishti padangushta shvitavani. In the valley of Mandara Hill, Hiranyakashipu began performing his austerities by standing with his toes on the ground, keeping his arms upward and looking toward the sky. This position was extremely difficult, but he accepted it as a means to attain perfection. 3. From the hair on Hiranyakashipu's head, there emanated an effulgent light as brilliant and intolerable as the rays of the sun at the time of dissolution. Seeing the performance of such austere penances, the demigods who had been wandering throughout the planets now returned to their respective homes. Because of Hiranyakashipu's severe austerities, fire came from his head, and this fire and its smoke spread throughout the sky, encompassing the upper and lower planets, which all became extremely hot. Because of the power of severe austerities, all the rivers and oceans were agitated, the surface of the globe, with its mountains and islands, began trembling, and the stars and planets fell. All directions were ablaze. Scorched and extremely disturbed because of Hiranyakashipu's severe penances, all the demigods left the planets where they reside and went to the planet of Lord Brahma, where they informed the Creator as follows. O Lord of the demigods, O Master of the universe, because of the fire emanating from Hiranyakashipu's head, as a result of his severe austerities, we have become so disturbed that we could not stay in our planets but have come to you. O great person, chief of the universe, if you think it proper, kindly stop these disturbances meant to destroy everything before all your obedient subjects are annihilated. Hiranyakashipu has undertaken a most severe type of austerity. Although his plan is not unknown to you, kindly listen as we submit his intentions. The Supreme Person within the universe, Lord Brahma, has gotten his exalted post by dint of severe austerities, mystic power, and trance. Consequently, after creating the universe, he has become the most worshipable demigod within it. Since I am eternal, and time is eternal, I shall endeavor for such austerity, mystic power, and trance for many, many births, and thus I shall occupy the same post occupied by Lord Brahma. Purport, Hiranyakashipu's determination was to occupy the post of Lord Brahma, but this was impossible because Brahma has a long duration of life. As confirmed in Bhagavad Gita 8.17, Sahasra Yuga Paryantam Arhat Yad Brahmano Viduhu, 1,000 yugas equals one day of Brahma. The duration of Brahma's life is extremely great, and consequently it was impossible for Hiranyakashipu to occupy that post. Nonetheless, his decision was that since the self, Atma, and time are both eternal, if he could not occupy that post in one lifetime, he would continue to execute austerities life after life so that sometime he would be able to do so. 11. By dint of my severe austerities, I shall reverse the results of pious and impious activities. I shall overturn all the established practices within this world. Even Dhruva Loka will be vanquished at the end of the millennium. Therefore, what is the use of it? I shall prefer to remain in the position of Brahma. Hiranyakashipu's purport, demoniac determination was explained to Lord Brahma by the demigods, who informed him that Hiranyakashipu wanted to overturn all the established principles. After executing severe austerities, people within this material world are promoted to the heavenly planet. But Hiranyakashipu wanted them to be unhappy, suffering because of the diplomatic feelings of the demigods, even in the heavenly planet. He wanted those who were harassed in this world by material transactions to be unhappy for the same reason, even in the heavenly planets. Indeed, he wanted to introduce such harassment everywhere. One might ask how this would be possible, since the universal order has been established since time immemorial. But Hiranyakashipu was proud to declare that he would be able to do everything by the power of his tapasya. He even wanted to make the Vaishnava's position insecure. These are some of the symptoms of the asuric determination. Text 12. O Lord, we have heard from reliable sources that in order to obtain your post, Hiranyakashipu is now engaged in severe austerity. You are the master of the three worlds. Please, without delay, take whatever steps you deem appropriate. Purport. In the material world, a servant is provided for by the master, but is always planning how to capture the master's post. There have been many instances of this in history, especially in India during the Mohammedan rule. Many servants, by plans and devices, took over the posts of their masters. It is learned from Chaitanya literature that one big zamindar, Subhuti Roy, kept a Mohammedan boy as a servant. Of course, he treated the boy as his own child, and sometimes when the boy would steal something, the master would chastise him by striking him with a cane. There was a mark on the boy's back from this chastisement. Later, after the boy had by crooked means become Hussein Shah, Nawab of Bengal, one day his wife saw the mark on his back and inquired about it. The Nawab replied that in his childhood he had been a servant of Subhuti Roy, who had punished him because of some mischievous activities. Upon hearing this, the Nawab's wife immediately became agitated and requested her husband to kill Subhuti Roy. Nawab Hussein Shah, of course, was very grateful to Subhuti Roy and therefore refused to kill him. But when his wife requested him to turn Subhuti Roy into a Mohammedan, the Nawab agreed. Taking some water from his water pot, he sprinkled it upon Subhuti Roy and declared that Subhuti Roy had now become a Mohammedan. The point is that this Nawab had been an ordinary menial servant of Subhuti Roy, but was somehow or other able to occupy the supreme post of Nawab of Bengal. This is the material world. Everyone is trying to become master through various devices, although everyone is servant of his senses. Following this system, a living entity, although servant of his senses, tries to become master of the whole universe. Hiranyakashipu was a typical example of this, and Brahma was informed by the demigods of his intentions. 13. O Lord Brahma, your position within this universe is certainly most auspicious for everyone, especially the cows and brahmanas. Brahminical culture and the protection of cows can be increasingly glorified, and thus all kinds of material happiness, opulence, and good fortune will automatically increase. But unfortunately, if Hiranyakashipu occupies your seat, everything will be lost. Purport. In this verse, the words Dvija Gavam Parameshyam indicate the most exalted position of the brahmanas, brahminical culture, and the cows. In Vedic culture, the welfare of the cows and the welfare of the brahmanas are essential. Without a proper arrangement for developing brahminical culture and protecting cows, all the affairs of administration will go to hell. Being afraid that Hiranyakashipu would occupy the post of Brahma, all the demigods were extremely disturbed. Hiranyakashipu was a well-known demon, and the demigods knew that if demons and rakshasas were to occupy the supreme post, brahminical culture and protection of cows would come to an end. As stated in Bhagavad Gita 5.29, the original proprietor of everything is Lord Krishna. Bhoktaram yajyatapasam sarvaloka maheshwaram. The Lord, therefore, knows particularly well how to develop the material condition of the living entities within this material world. In every universe, there is one Brahma engaged on behalf of Lord Krishna As confirmed in Srimad Bhagavatam, Teni Brahma Hridaya Adi Kavaye, the principal creator in each Brahmanda is Lord Brahma, who imparts Vedic knowledge to his disciples and sons. On every planet, the king or supreme controller must be a representative of Brahma. Therefore, if a Rakshasa or demon were situated in Brahma's post, then the entire arrangement of the universe, especially the protection of the Brahminical culture and cows, would be ruined. All the demigods anticipated this danger, and therefore they went to request Lord Brahma to take immediate steps to thwart Hiranyakashipu's plan. In the beginning of creation, Lord Brahma was attacked by two demons, Madhu and Kaitava, but Krishna saved him. Therefore, Krishna is addressed as Madhu Kaitava Huntru. Now again, Hiranyakashipu is trying to replace Brahma. The material world is so situated that even the position of Lord Brahma, not to speak of ordinary living entities, is sometimes in danger. Nonetheless, until the time of Hiranyakashipu, no one had tried to replace Lord Brahma. Hiranyakashipu, however, was such a great demon that he maintained this ambition. The word bhutyai means for increasing opulence, and the word shreyase refers to ultimately returning home back to Godhead. In spiritual advancement, one's material position improves at the same time that the path of liberation becomes clear and one is freed from material bondage. If one is situated in an opulent position in spiritual advancement, his opulence never decreases. Therefore, such a spiritual benediction is called bhuti or vibhuti. Krishna confirms this in Bhagavad Gita 10:41. Yad yad vibhuti mat sattvam mama teshom shasambhavam. If a devotee advances in spiritual consciousness and thus becomes materially opulent also, his position is a special gift from the Lord. Such opulence is never to be considered material. At the present, especially on this planet Earth, the influence of Lord Brahma has decreased considerably, and the representatives of Hiranyakashipu, the Rakshasas and demons, have taken charge. Therefore, there is no protection of Brahminical culture and cows, which are the basic prerequisites for all kinds of good fortune. This age is very dangerous because society is being managed by demons and rakshasas. Text 14. O King, being thus informed by the demigods, the most powerful Brahma, accompanied by Bhrigu, Daksha, and other great sages, immediately started for the place where Hiranyakashipu was performing his penances and austerities. Purport: Lord Brahma was waiting for the austerities performed by Hiranyakashipu to mature so that he could go there and offer benedictions according to Hiranyakashipu's desire. Now, taking the opportunity of being accompanied by all the demigods and great saintly persons, Brahma went there to award him the benediction he desired. Lord Brahma, who is carried by a swan airplane, at first could not see where Hiranyakashipu was, for Hiranyakashipu's body was covered by an anthill and by grass and bamboo sticks. Because Hiranyakashipu had been there for a long time, the ants had devoured his skin, fat, flesh, and blood. Then Lord Brahma and the demigods spotted him, resembling a cloud-covered sun, heeding all the world by his austerity. Struck with wonder, Lord Brahma began to smile and then addressed him as follows. Purport: The living entity can live merely by his own power, without the help of skin, marrow, bone, blood, and so on, because it is said, Asango Yayam Purushaha. The living entity has nothing to do with the material covering. Hiranyakashipu performed a severe type of tapasya, austerity, for many long years. Indeed, it is said that he performed the tapasya for 100 heavenly years. Since one day of the demigods equals 6 of our months, certainly this was a very long time. By nature's own way, his body had been almost consumed by earthworms, ants, and other parasites, and therefore even Brahma was at first unable to see him. Later, however, Brahma could ascertain where Hiranyakashipu was, and Brahma was struck with wonder to see Hiranyakashipu's extraordinary power to execute tapasya. Anyone would conclude that Hiranyakashipu was dead because his body was covered in so many ways. But Lord Brahma, the supreme living being in this universe, could understand that Hiranyakashipu was alive but covered by material elements. It is also to be noted that although Hiranyakashipu performed this austerity for a long time, he was nonetheless known as a daitya and rakshasa. It will be seen from verses to follow that even great saintly persons could not perform such a severe type of austerity. Why then was he called a rakshasa and daitya? It is because whatever he did was for his own sense gratification. His son Prahlad Maharaj was only 5 years old, and so what could Prahlad do? Yet simply by performing a little devotional service, according to the instructions of Narada Muni, Prahlad became so dear to the Lord that the Lord came to save him, whereas Hiranyakashipu, in spite of all his austerities, was killed. This is the difference between devotional service and all other methods of perfection. One who performs severe austerities for sense gratification is fearful to the entire world, whereas a devotee who performs even a slight amount of devotional service is a friend to everyone, suridam sarvabhutanam. Since the Lord is the well-wisher of every living entity, and since a devotee assumes the quality of the Lord, a devotee also acts for everyone's good fortune by performing devotional service. Thus, although Hiranyakashipu performed such a severe austerity, he remained a daitya and a rakshasa, whereas Prahlad Maharaj, although born of the same daitya father, became the most exalted devotee and was personally protected by the Supreme Lord. Bhakti is therefore called sarvapadi vinirmuktam, indicating that a devotee is freed from all material designations, and anyabhilashita shunyam, situated in a transcendental position free from all material desires. Text 17. Lord Brahma said, O son of Kashyapa Muni, please get up, please get up. All good fortune to you. You are now perfect in the performance of your austerities, and therefore I may give you a benediction. You may now ask from me whatever you desire, and I shall try to fulfill your wish. Purport. Srila Madhvacharya quotes from the Skanda Purana, which says that Hiranyakashipu, having become a devotee of Lord Brahma, who is known as Hiranyagarbha, and having undergone a severe austerity to please him, is also known as Hiranyaka. The Rakshasas and demons worship various demigods, such as Lord Brahma and Lord Shiva, just to take the post of these demigods. This we have already explained in previous verses. Text 18. I have been very much astonished to see your endurance. In spite of being eaten and bitten by all kinds of worms and ants, you are keeping your life air circulating within your bones. Certainly, this is wonderful. Purport. It appears that the soul can exist even through the bones, as shown by the personal example of Hiranyakashipu. When great yogis are in samadhi, even when their bodies are buried and their skin, marrow, blood, and so on have all been eaten, even if only their bones remain, they can exist in a transcendental position. Very recently, an archaeologist published findings indicating that Lord Christ, after being buried, was exhumed and that he then went to Kashmir. There have been many actual examples of yogis being buried in trance and exhumed alive and in good condition several hours later. A yogi can keep himself alive in a transcendental state, even if buried, not only for many days, but for many years. Text 19. Even saintly persons like Bhrigu, born previously, could not perform such severe austerities, nor will anyone in the future be able to do so. Who within these three worlds can sustain his life without even drinking water for 100 celestial years? Purport. It appears that even if a yogi does not drink a drop of water, he can live for many, many years by the yogic process, though his outer body be eaten by ants and moths. 20. My dear son Diti, dear son of Diti, with your great determination and austerity, you have done what was impossible even for great saintly persons, and thus I have certainly been conquered by you. Purport. In regard to the word jitaha, Srila Madhva Muni gives the following quotation from the Shabda Nirnaya. Parabhutam vashastam cha Chittabhiruchite buddhahi. If one comes under someone else's control or is defeated by another, he is called jitaha. Hiranyakashipu's austerity was so great and wonderful that even Lord Brahma agreed to be conquered by him. 21. O best of the Asuras, for this reason I am now prepared to give you all benedictions, according to your desire. I belong to this celestial world of demigods, who do not die like human beings. Therefore, although you are subject to death, your audience with me will not go in vain. Wherefore, it appears that human beings and Asuras are subject to death, whereas demigods are not. The demigods who reside with Lord Brahma in Satyaloka go to Vaikuntha Loka in their present bodily constructions at the time of the dissolution. Therefore, although Hiranyakashipu had undergone severe austerities, Lord Brahma predicted that he had to die. He could not become immortal even gain equal status with the demigods. The great austerities and penances he had performed for so many years could not give him protection from death. This was foretold by Lord Brahma. Text 22. Shrinardu vacha it yukvari bhavo devo bakshitangam pipilikai kamandalu jalinaukshad divyena mogaradasa. Shrinardu Muni continued, after speaking these words to Hiranyakashipu, Lord Brahma, the original being of this universe, who is extremely powerful, sprinkled transcendental, infallible spiritual water from his kamandalu upon Hiranyakashipu's body, which had been eaten away by ants and moths. Thus he enlivened Hiranyakashipu. Purport. Lord Brahma is the first created being within this universe and is empowered by the Supreme Lord to create. Teni Brahma Hrida Ya Adi Kaviye. The Adi Dev, or Adi Kavi, the first living creature, was personally taught by the Supreme Personality of Godhead through the heart. There was no one to teach him, but since the Lord is situated within Brahma's heart, Brahma was educated by the Lord himself. Lord Brahma, being especially empowered, is infallible in doing whatever he wants. This is the meaning of the word Amogha Radasa. He desired to restore Hiranyakashipu's original body, and therefore, by sprinkling transcendental water from his water pot, he immediately did so. 23. As soon as he was sprinkled with the water from Lord Brahma's water pot, Hiranyakashipu arose, endowed with a full body, with limbs so strong that they could bear the striking of a thunderbolt. With physical strength and a bodily luster resembling molten gold, he emerged from the anthill a completely young man, just as fire springs from fuel wood. Purport, Hiranyakashipu was revitalized, so much so that his body was quite competent to tolerate the striking of thunderbolts. He was now a young man with a strong body and a very beautiful bodily luster resembling molten gold. This is the rejuvenation that took place because of his severe austerity and penance. 24. Seeing Lord Brahma present before him in the sky, carried by his swan plane, Hiranyakashipu was extremely pleased. He immediately fell flat with his head on the ground and began to express his obligation to the Lord with a small L. Purport. Lord Krishna says in the Bhagavad Gita 9:23-24, ye pyanya devata bhakta yajante shadayanvita te pimam eva kaunteya yajante vidipurvakam aham hi sarva yajnanam bhukta cha prabhureva cha na tu mam avijananti tapena tashtyavanti te. Whatever a man may sacrifice to other gods, O son of Kunti, is really meant for me alone, but it is offered without true understanding. I am the only enjoyer and the only object of sacrifice. Those who do not recognize my true transcendental nature fall down. In effect, Krishna says, persons engaged in the worship of demigods are not very intelligent, although such worship is indirectly offered to me. For example, When a man pours water on the leaves and branches of a tree without pouring water on the root, he does so without sufficient knowledge or without observing regulative principles. The process of watering a tree is to pour water on the root. Similarly, the process of rendering service to different parts of the body is to supply food to the stomach. The demigods are, so to speak, different officers and directors in the government of the Supreme Lord. One has to follow the laws made by the government, not by the officers or directors. Similarly, everyone is to offer his worship to the Supreme Lord only. That will automatically satisfy the different officers and directors of the Lord. The officers and directors are engaged as representatives of the government, and to offer some bribe to the officers and directors is illegal. This is stated in Bhagavad Gita as a vidipurvakam. In other words, Krishna has not approved the unnecessary worship of the demigods. In Bhagavad Gita, it is clearly stated that there are many types of yajna performances recommended in the Vedic literatures, but actually all of them are meant for satisfying the Supreme Lord. Yajna means Vishnu. In the third chapter of Bhagavad Gita, it is clearly stated that one should work only for satisfying yajna or Vishnu, the perfectional form of human civilization known as Varnashrama Dharma. Is specifically meant for satisfying Vishnu. Therefore, Krishna says, I am the enjoyer of all sacrifices because I am the Supreme Master. However, less intelligent persons, without knowing this fact, worship demigods for temporary benefit. Therefore, they fall down to material existence and do not achieve the desired goal of life. If, however, anyone has any material desire to be fulfilled, he had better pray for it to the Supreme Lord, although that is not pure devotion, and he will thus achieve the desired result. Although Hiranyakashipu offered his obeisances unto Lord Brahma, he was strongly inimical towards Lord Vishnu. This is the symptom of an asura. Asuras worship the demigods as being separate from the Lord, not knowing that all the demigods are powerful because of being servants of the Lord. If the Supreme Lord were to withdraw the powers of the demigods would no longer be able to offer benedictions to their worshippers. The difference between a devotee and a non-devotee or asura is that a devotee knows that Lord Vishnu is the Supreme Personality of Godhead and that everyone derives power from him. Without worshipping the demigods for particular powers, a devotee worships Lord Vishnu, knowing that if he desires a particular power, he can get that power while acting as Lord Vishnu's devotee. Therefore, in the Shastra, Bhagavatam 2.3.10, it is recommended, Akama sarva kamo va moksha kamo udarati tivrena bhakti yogena yajeta purusham param. A person who has broader intelligence, whether he be full of material desires, free from material desires, or desiring liberation, must by all means worship the Supreme Whole, the Personality of Godhead. Even if a person has material desires, instead of worshipping the demigods, he should pray to the Supreme Lord so that his connection with the Supreme Lord will be established and he will be saved from becoming a demon or a non-devotee. In this regard, Srila Madhvacharya gives the following quotation from the Brahma Tarka. Ekastanaika karyatvad Vishno pradhanyatastata Jivasya tad adinatvan na bindadi kritam vachaha. Since Vishnu is the Supreme, by worshipping Vishnu, one can fulfill all one's desires. There is no need to divert one's attention to any demigod. Text 25. Then, getting up from the ground and seeing Lord Brahma before him, the head of the daityas was overwhelmed by jubilation, with tears in his eyes, his whole body shivering. He began praying in a humble mood, with folded hands and a faltering voice, to satisfy Lord Brahma. 26-27, let me offer my respectful obeisances unto the Supreme Lord within this universe. At the end of each day of his life, the universe is fully covered with dense darkness by the influence of time. And then again, during the next day, that self-effulgent Lord, by his own effulgence, manifests, maintains, and destroys the entire cosmic manifestation through the material energy which is invested with the three modes of material nature. He, Lord Brahma, is the shelter of those modes of nature, Sattvagun, Rajagun, and Tamagun. Purport, the words Abhivyanag Jagad Idam refer to he who creates this cosmic manifestation. The original creator is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Krishna, Janmad Yasayutaha. Lord Brahma is the secondary creator. When Lord Brahma is empowered by Lord Krishna as the engineer to create the phenomenal world, he becomes the supremely powerful feature within this universe. The total material energy is created by Krishna, and later, taking advantage of all that has necessarily been created, Lord Brahma engineers the entire phenomenal universe. At the end of Lord Brahma's day, everything up to Swargaloka is inundated with water, and the next morning, when there is darkness in the universe, Brahma again brings the phenomenal manifestation into existence. Therefore, he is described here as he who manifests this universe. Trin Gunan Vrinoti. Lord Brahma takes advantage of the three modes of material nature. Prakriti, material nature, is described here as Trivrita, the source of the three material modes. Srila Madhvacharya comments in this connection that Trivrita means Prakritya. Thus, Lord Krishna is the original creator, and Lord Brahma is the original engineer. 28. I offer my obeisances to the original personality within this universe, Lord Brahma, who is cognizant and who can apply his mind and realize intelligence in creating this cosmic manifestation. It is because of his activities that everything within the universe is visible. He is therefore the cause of all manifestations. Purport. The Vedanta Sutra begins by declaring that the Absolute Person is the original source of all creation. Janmad Yasayataha. One may ask whether Lord Brahma is the Supreme Absolute Person. No. The Supreme Absolute Person is Krishna. Brahma receives his mind, intelligence, materials, and everything else from Krishna, and then he becomes the secondary creator, the engineer of this universe. In this regard, we may note that the creation does not take place accidentally because of the explosion of a chunk. Such nonsensical theories are not accepted by Vedic students. The first created living being is Brahma, who is endowed with perfect knowledge and intelligence by the Lord. As stated in Srimad Bhagavatam, Tene Brahma Hrida Ya Adikaviye, although Brahma is the first created being, he is not independent, for he receives help from the Supreme Personality of Godhead through his heart. There is no one but Brahma at the time of creation, and therefore he receives his intelligence directly from the Supreme Lord through the heart. This has been discussed in the beginning of Srimad Bhagavatam. Lord Brahma is described in this verse as the original cause of the cosmic manifestation, and this applies to his position in the material world. There are many, many such controllers, all of whom are created by the Supreme Lord Vishnu. This is illustrated by an incident described in the Chaitanya Charitamrita. When the Brahma of this particular universe was invited by Krishna to Dwarka, he thought that he was the only Brahma. Therefore, when Krishna inquired from his servant which Brahma was at the door to visit, Lord Brahma was surprised. He replied that, of course, Lord Brahma, the father of the four Kumaras, was waiting at the door. Later, Lord Brahma asked Krishna why he had inquired which Brahma had come. He was then informed that there are millions of other Brahmas because there are millions of universes. Krishna then called all the Brahmas, who immediately came to visit him. The Chaturmukha Brahma, the four-headed Brahma of this universe, thought himself a very insignificant creature in the presence of so many Brahmas with so many heads. Thus, although there is a Brahma who is the engineer of each universe, Krishna is the original source of all of them. 29. Your Lordship, being the origin of the life of this material world, is the master and controller of the living entities, both moving and stationary, and you inspire their consciousness. You maintain the mind and the acting and knowledge-acquiring senses, and therefore you are the great controller of the material elements and their qualities, and you are the controller of all desires. Purport. In this verse, it is clearly indicated that the original source of everything is life. Brahma was instructed by the Supreme Life, Krishna. Krishna is the Supreme Living Entity. Nityo Nityanam Chetanash Chetananam. And Brahma is also a living entity, but the original source of Brahma is Krishna. Therefore, Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita 7:7, Mattak Paratanam Nanyat Kinchidasti Dananjaya. O Arjuna, there is no true superior to me. Krishna is the original source of Brahma, who is the original source of this universe. Brahma is a representative of Krishna, and therefore all the qualities and activities of Krishna are also present in Lord Brahma. 30. My dear Lord, by your form as the Vedas personified and through knowledge relating to the activities of all the yajnik brahmanas, you spread the Vedic ritualistic ceremonies of the seven kinds of sacrifices headed by Agnishtoma. Indeed, you inspire the yajnik brahmanas to perform the rituals mentioned in the three Vedas. Being the supreme soul, the super soul of all living entities, you are beginningless, endless, and omniscient beyond the limits of time and space. Purport. The Vedic ritualistic ceremonies, the knowledge thereof, and the person who agrees to perform them are inspired by the Supreme Soul. As confirmed in Bhagavad Gita, Matak Smritir Gyanam Apohanam Cha. From the Lord come remembrance, knowledge, and forgetfulness. The Super Soul is situated in everyone's heart. Sarvasya Cha Ham Hridisan Nivishta Ishvara Sarva Bhutanam Hridisher Arjuna Tishtati. And when one is advanced in Vedic knowledge, the Super Soul gives him directions. Acting as Super Soul, the Lord gives inspiration to a suitable person to perform the Vedic ritualistic ceremonies. In this connection, four classes of priests known as Vitvik are required. They are mentioned as Hota, Advaryu, Brahma, and Udgata. 31. O my Lord, your Lordship is eternally awake, seeing everything that happens. As eternal time, you reduce the duration of life for all living entities through your different parts, such as moments, seconds, minutes, and hours. Nonetheless, you are unchanged, resting in one place as the Super Soul. Witness and Supreme Lord, the birthless, all-pervading controller who is the cause of life for all living entities. Purport. In this verse, the word kutastha is very important. Although the Supreme Personality of Godhead is situated everywhere, he is the central unchanging point. Ishvara Sarva Bhutanam Ridhishara Junatishtati. The Lord is situated in full in the core of everyone's heart. As indicated in the Upanishads by the word Ekatvam, although there are millions and millions of living entities, the Lord is situated as the Super Soul in every one of them. Nonetheless, he is one in many. As stated in the Brahma Samhita, Advaitam, Achutam, Anadim, Anantarupam. He has many forms, yet they are Advaita, one and unchanging. Since the Lord is all-pervading, he is also situated in eternal time. The living entities are described as parts and parcels of the Lord because he is the life and soul of all living entities, being situated within their hearts as the Antaryami, as enunciated by the philosophy of inconceivable oneness and difference, Achintya Bheda Bhed. Since the living entities are part of God, they are one in quality with the Lord, yet they are different from him. The Super Soul, who inspires all living entities to act, is one and changeless. There are varieties of subjects, objects, and activities, yet the Lord is one. 32. There is nothing separate from you, whether it be better or lower, stationary or moving. The knowledge derived from the Vedic literature, like these literatures like the Upanishads, and from all the sublimbs of the original Vedic knowledge, form your external body. You are Hiranyagarbha, the reservoir of the universe, but nonetheless, being situated as the Supreme Controller, you are transcendental to the material world, which consists of the three modes of material nature. Purport. The word para means the supreme cause, and apara means the effect. Supreme cause is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and the effect is material nature. The living entities, both moving and non-moving, are controlled by the Vedic instructions in art and science. and therefore they are all expansions of the external energy of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who is the center as the Supersoul. The Brahmandas, the universes, exist during the duration of a breath of the Supreme Lord. Yashaika nishvasita kala matava lambya jivanti loma vilaja jagadannanata. Thus, they are also within the womb of the Supreme Personality of God in Mahavishnu. Nothing, therefore, is separate from the Supreme Lord. This is the philosophy of Achintya Bheda Bheda Tattva. 33. O my Lord, being changelessly situated in your own abode, you expand your universal form within this cosmic manifestation, thus appearing to taste the material world. You are Brahman, the Supersoul, the oldest, the personality of Godhead. Purport, it is said that the Absolute Truth appears in three features, namely impersonal Brahman, localized Supersoul, and ultimately the Supreme Personality of Godhead Krishna. The cosmic manifestation is the gross material body of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who enjoys the taste of the material mellows by expanding his parts and parcels to living entities who are qualitatively one with him. The Supreme Personality of Godhead, however, is situated in the Vaikuntha planets, where he enjoys the spiritual mellows. Therefore, the one absolute truth, Bhagavan, pervades all by his material cosmic manifestation, the spiritual Brahman effulgence, and his personal existence as the Supreme Lord. 34. Let me offer my respectful obeisances unto the Supreme, who is unlimited, has unlimited form, who in his unlimited, unmanifested form has expanded the cosmic manifestation, the form of the totality of the universe. He possesses external and internal energies and the mixed energy called the marginal potency, which consists of all the living entities. Purport, the Lord is endowed with unlimited potencies. Parasya Shaktir, Parasya Shaktir Vividhaiva Shruyate, which are summarized as three, namely external, internal, and marginal. The external potency manifests this material world. The internal potency manifests the spiritual world, and the marginal potency manifests the living entities, who are mixtures of internal and external. The living entity, being part and parcel of Parabrahman, is actually internal potency. But because of being in contact with the material energy, he is an emanation of material and spiritual energies. The Supreme Personality of Godhead is above the material energy and is engaged in spiritual pastimes. The material energy is only an external manifestation of his pastimes. Text 35. O my Lord, O best of the givers of benediction, if you will kindly grant me benediction I desire. Grant me the benediction I desire. Please let me not meet death from any of the living entities created by you. Purport, after being created from the navel of Garbhadakshayi Vishnu, Lord Brahma, the original created living being within the universe, created many other different types of living entities to reside in this universe. Therefore, from the beginning of creation, the living entities were born of a superior living entity. Ultimately, Krishna is the supreme living being, the father of all others. Aham bija prada pita. He is the seed-giving father of all living entities. Thus far, Hiranyakashipu has adored Lord Brahma as the Supreme Personality of Godhead and is expected to become immortal by the benediction of Lord Brahma. Now, however, having come to understand that even Lord Brahma is not immortal, because at the end of the millennium, Lord Brahma will also die, Hiranyakashipu is very carefully asking him for benedictions that will be almost as good as immortality. His first proposal is that he not be killed by any of the different forms of living entities created by Lord Brahma within this material world. 36. Grant me that I not die within any residence or outside any residence, during the daytime or at night, nor on the ground or in the sky. Grant me that my death not be brought by any being other than those created by you, nor by any weapon, nor by any human being or animal. Purport, Hiranyakashipu was very much afraid of Vishnu's becoming an animal to kill him because his brother had been killed by Vishnu when the Lord took the shape of a boar. He was therefore very careful to guard against all kinds of animals. But even without taking the shape of an animal, Vishnu could kill him by hurling his Sudarshan Chakra, which can go anywhere without the Lord's physical presence. Therefore, Hiranyakashipu was careful to guard against all kinds of weapons. He guarded against all kinds of time, space, and countries because he was afraid of being killed by someone else in another land. There are many other planets, higher and lower, and therefore he prayed for the benediction of not being killed by any resident of any of these planets. There are three original deities, Brahma, Vishnu, and Maheshwar. Hiranyakashipu knew that Brahma would not kill him, but he also wanted not to be killed by Lord Vishnu or Lord Shiva. Consequently, he prayed for such a benediction. Thus, Hiranyakashipu thought himself securely protected from any kind of death caused by any living entity within this universe. He also carefully guarded against natural death, which might take place within his house or outside of the house. 37:38. Grant me that I not meet death from any entity, living or non-living. Grant me further that I not be killed by any demigod or demon, or by any great snake from the lower planets. Since no one can kill you in the battlefield, you have no competitor. Therefore, grant me the benediction that I too may have no rival. Give me sole lordship over all the living entities and presiding deities, and give me all the glories obtained by that position. Furthermore, give me all the mystic powers attained by long austerities and the practice of yoga, for these cannot be lost at any time. Purport: Lord Brahma obtained his supreme position due to long austerities and penances, mystic yoga, meditation, and so on. Hiranyakashipu wanted a similar position. The ordinary powers achieved by mystic yoga, austerities, and other processes are sometimes vanquished. But the powers obtained by the mercy of the Lord are never vanquished. Hiranyakashipu therefore wanted a benediction that would never be vanquished. Thus end the Bhaktivedanta purports of the 7th canto, 3rd chapter of the Srimad Bhagavatam, entitled Hiranyakashipu's Plan to Become Immortal. And very soon we'll take up chapter 4, Hiranyakashipu Terrorizes the Universe. And for now we'll stop and take some reflections from those of you who are intently listening to these pastimes.
Hare Krishna, thank you so much, Guru Maharaj, for the wonderful reading. Hare Krishna, dear devotee, you can press star 6 to share your reflection. I'm going to open up the Q&A session now.
Go right ahead.
Go ahead.
Hare Krishna, Prabhu. Please ask me. Hamla Vaishnav says, Prabhu, I'm going to Srila Prabhupada.
Hare Krishna.
Prabhu, I like the point where Srila Prabhupada in the purport explains how even though Hiranyakashipu performs austerities where his body is all perished, but still he was killed by Vishnu in the end. And whereas Prahlad Maharaj, for little devotional service he performed, Vishnu comes himself to save him. So even though one is great austerity, the other one is devotional service, so how devotional service how you can say excels any austerity was very nicely put. I like that one.
I liked it too. You're practically a mystic because I turned to that page. I was just looking at it when you mentioned it because I have a flag on that page. And this
thank you.
Is extremely inspiring, isn't it?
Yes, sir. Yes.
Yeah. Thank you very much for bringing that out. Really beautiful point.
Thank you.
Well, let's hear more of what all the devotees heard that inspired them from this chapter. Fantastic.
Bharaj, while we are waiting for the for others to join the queue, I was just reflecting on where Prabhupada mentions in the purport earlier in the chapter that the Rakshasas and demons, they worship the demigods to take their position. And they kind of like sort of like Mayavadis, right?
It's like Oracle. Sounds like the corporate world or something.
Oh, definitely.
Oh boy, that's horrible.
Well, we have
yeah.
A question.
Also, in this section about Subhuti Roy, Prabhupada says the point is that this Nawab had been an ordinary menial servant of Subhuti Roy, but was somehow or other able to occupy the supreme post of the Nawab in Bengal. This is the material world. Everyone is trying to become master through various devices, although everyone is a servant of his senses. Yeah. Thank you very much, Shraddha.
There's a question coming up, Maharaj.
Okay.
Go ahead, please. Unless you have put your
Guru
phone on.
Lavanya.
Go ahead, start.
This is Lavanya again. Guru Maharaj.
Oh, Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna. Maharaj, I was listening to your lecture, and my thought is very similar to what we've heard so far. It's just amazing how much a person would go into austerities and ask for such futile wishes. And, you know, so many years of just melting his body out, and all he could think of was only to get more and more, you know, as his name suggests, just enjoy life more and more for as long as he can. He couldn't think beyond that. I don't think he even realizes there was something beyond that. He was just so narrow-minded. And it's amazing how much energy he put into that. It baffles me to think that you'd wipe your body out in the hope that you'd get your body back again much better than last time. So you can do this all over again.
Now, Hirani Kashipu did it, and he had futile wishes. Do you suppose anybody else has in Silicon Valley has any futile wishes and are working their body to the bone?
I'm pretty sure there are many out there who do this, you know, who just, we're told that we should focus on family. I mean, a materialistic person is still told. Even among the materialists, there are some people with sattva guna. So they feel like, you know, you should focus on your family, focus on the time you spend with them, rather than just pouring yourself out on your work. But even beyond that, there's something, it's especially with book distribution, Guru Maharaj, it's amazing to see how little time people have for this knowledge. Mm. They're just not open to it. It always amazes me. No matter how many times you go out for book distribution, I think that is one thing that will always amaze us, that, you know, people will just walk away from it and actually avoid you. Avoid the books and you as much as possible, as decently as possible, so that they don't have to tell you up to your face that, I don't want to have anything to do with God right now. I don't have the time for him. It's amazing. It always, it's amazing. And I wanted to ask Guru Maharaj that, you know, when you read, we create time to listen to the Srimad Bhagavatam. And then when your lectures are over, we kind of sink back into the mud. Is it just Hriday Daurbalyam that we don't try harder? It's so wonderful when you do read. But then we sit and wait for you again at the next festival you're going to read for us. We don't take the effort to... I personally don't take the effort to sit down and do this.
Well, I mean, that's how we cross the material ocean, is on these stepping stones. You know, every opportunity we have is like the next stepping stone we can balance on, and then move to the next one. And one should move forward in devotional service in whatever way one can, by grabbing on to whatever one can. And that's the system. You know, you start with whatever you can get, and then there's more and more momentum, and everything is so sublime in spiritual life that even a little bit of practice becomes augmented by the mercy of Krishna, that becomes, it expands. Even something that looks insignificant, a practice that looks like it's stopping and starting and so forth, when it's continued over months, over years, over decades and so forth, it actually carries one back to the spiritual world. And, you know, this process, Prabhupada was pointing out, and we heard earlier how powerful it is that although Hiranyakashipu went to so much trouble and it was all for naught because of the wrong motivation, a devotee with a little simple devotion, even if it's a tiny bit, Krishna says in the Gita, su alpam, tiny, tiny, if it's rightly motivated, then he appreciates it so much, he's so grateful that he finds ways to elevate the devotee in his life. What to speak of those who are doing this bhajana kriya, which means they're making vows that this is what I'm going to do, come hell or high water through this world, I'm going to continue my bhajan. And it may, at certain points of our life, be more interrupted than at others, but it will have its effect. I was thinking this morning when I was chanting japa about this verse, manmana bhavamad bhakto madhyaji mam namaskuru mami vaishyasi yukvaiva mana matparayanaha. It's such a simple thing. Krishna says, just think of me, and then he says, become my devotee. It's like everyone wants to be somebody's devotee. Everyone wants to follow someone. That's the nature of the living entity. And Krishna says, just become my devotee. And it's like so easy. It's so easy because Krishna's so nice and beautiful and cool. And I mean, every quality you can imagine he has. So to actually just follow him, and it's like, all right, I'm Krishna's devotee. I don't care what anybody else is doing in the whole cosmic manifestation. I'm just going to be Krishna's devotee. And just thinking like that, there's so much satisfaction and reciprocation in the heart from Krishna that the devotee is carried out of this material world by the power of just thinking of him, or just repeating his name, or even if you can't do anything, just put your head down in front of him and bow down and say, okay, I'm yours. I'm putting my head at your feet. So, you know, those devotees who are engaged in that process, in any way, in whatever situation they're in now, are glorious, according to the Bhagavatam, because it's so powerful that it will elevate them to the highest position, and they'll come to their full glory, which is unimaginable through the material mind and senses. Unimaginable. So you're...
Thank you.
Anyway,
Maharaj,
you're doing it. Yeah. Hare Krishna.
So thank you so much, Maharaj, for always having time for us. No matter how busy you are, you still come and read for us. And we are so dependent on your voice. No matter how many times you tell us to improve sadhana and tapas, we are still so dependent on your voice. We are so grateful for these moments you give us, especially to Shraddha Mataji for recording them, when we can't sit and listen to you directly. It's a pleasure to know that we can always come back to it. It's there for us. I think that way I am more grateful to technology than anything else, that we will have you.
Jai. Well, as they say in Japan, kochira koso, the feeling is mutual. Because if you weren't there to listen, then what would be the impetus? Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.
Shraddha, anybody else in the queue?
Yeah, Gumaja, but there are people on the queue, and I just wanted to make sure that you want to continue. More. It's 8:37.
How many are in the queue?
Well, there are three. Sean Prabhu is there. He never got a chance to say anything.
Okay, three, and then the three that are in the queue, and then we'll end it. I'll make them short.
Okay,
please go ahead.
Sean Prabhu, please go ahead.
Hare Krishna, Prabhu.
Hare Krishna, Sean.
You know, one thing that stuck out while you were reading was when you were talking about the asuras and rakshasas and demons. The thing that really stuck out was I kind of just thought about our society as a whole right now, how it seems like all the wrong people are in control.
Mm.
And how Yeah, and how no matter how hard you might try, you're going to get caught up somehow or another in their scheme. You didn't meet your quota. We don't need you. I hear that from people all the time. They're losing their jobs, and I don't know. It just seems that's what kind of went through my mind. It seems like a lot of people with the wrong intentions have the power.
It does seem rather extreme these days. And in the 16th chapter of the Gita, Krishna talks about all these, you know, there's divine and demoniac natures. And I think as Kali Yuga progresses, it becomes undeniable the kinds of ways in which demons are being born and just these demoniac qualities are becoming more and more augmented. So all the more reason to take full shelter. And as Srila Bhaktisiddhanta used to say, don't dally, don't take another birth. Prabhupada would tell us over and over again, say that finish your business and get out. Don't hang around here because it's only going to get worse.
And that's one clarity I've really picked up over the last few weeks.
That's nice. That's a very powerful inspiration to have, that, you know, time to go out, time to become very, very serious. And
right.
That's the impetus, you know. It has to come from within the heart that I give up. No mas.
Yeah.
No mas. Right?
No mas. All right, Prabhu, I'll write more to the letter for you, and I'll just listen to the rest of the night.
Okay. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna. Nice to hear you. Thank you.
Hare Bol. Hare Krishna. Who's
Hare
next?
Krishna. Yeah, please go ahead. I think Shyam Langi or Rajesh Prabhu.
Hare Krishna Prabhuji. Guru Maharaj, this is Shyam Langi.
Hare Krishna, Shyam Langi.
I was just noting the point in text 24, Purport Prabhupada explains the difference between asuras and the, you know, devotees. He says that asuras worship the demigods because they do not know that they get all their powers from the power of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And I was just thinking that, you know, even I was one of them, like, not long back. So I just noted that point.
Mm. Taking help from demigods and so forth.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, it's good to know.
Yeah, no one ever, I mean, even if we were brought up in India, no one actually told me, you know, that, you know, what's the difference between, you know, Krishna and the other demigods? It seems all were all similar. But now it's true.
Yeah,
you're fortunate that you know.
I was reading to Nirkula this morning from the Sri Bhakti Siddhanta by Bhav, and in it, there's a section at the end of the second volume describing the different disciples of Srila Bhaktisiddhanta. And one of them had, he had taken this verse, the same verse we just read, Ajantya Vidhi Purvakam. He had read the first part of the verse, but he wasn't considering the second part about how it's a vidhi, against the rules and regulations. So he was saying, whatever a man sacrifices to other gods is really meant for me alone. So he took the verse and misinterpreted it, was saying that it's the same. Offering the demigods or offering to Krishna is the same thing. They're all one. And so he was attracted to Srila Bhaktisiddhanta, but he's very attached to this idea. And so it describes how Srila Bhaktisiddhanta preached to him for hours and hours, and so much so that the disciples of Srila Bhaktisiddhanta were gesticulating for this man to stop asking their Guru Maharaj any questions because he hadn't eaten yet. But he wouldn't stop. He kept asking more and more questions about this, and Srila Bhaktisiddhanta brought out so many verses and points from the Shastra to explain what the actual situation is. And afterwards, the man surrendered, and he gave up his conception. So it's important to have this this knowledge in order that one become firmly fixed in how to water the root and fully become a devotee of Krishna. Thank you for that point.
Thank you.
Hare Krishna. And the last caller of the night.
Hare Krishna, Prabhuji. This is Malini here.
Malini, Hare Krishna.
Prabhuji, I like the analogy which, not analogy, actually, in the purport, Srila Prabhupada brought up the pastime about Subuddhi Roy and the king,
mm-hmm.
and how Hiranyakashipu actually performed so many of austerities so that he could actually take the position of Brahma. Even though he was worshipping him, he was actually going to take over Brahma as well. actually, I was reminded that last weekend we went for book distribution, and we met a lady who was practicing Bhagavad Gita, and then we thought she would be a good candidate for Srimad Bhagavatam, and then we went and we showed Bhagavatam, and in the end, and she was telling me that you know, all this Bhagavad Gita, Bhagavatam is all there, but in the end, we all merge into Brahman. So, you know, we didn't realize that she was an impersonalist. She was doing all these practices so that one day she could become one too. So I was just thinking how everybody is trying to take the position of Krishna instead of becoming a servant.
Yeah, devotees are rare in this world, huh?
Yes, Prabhuji.
But it's amazing how many people are becoming devotees also these days in Kali Yuga by Lord Chaitanya's special arrangement.
Mm-hmm.
It's mentioned in the 11th canto of the Bhagavatam how in this age, in the Kali Yuga age, there will be devotees will be very plentiful. A lot of them will take birth into this age of Kali Yuga. So there seems to, things are really heating up out there, you know? And so this mass distribution of full sets of Bhagavatams is like dropping these huge, gigantic bombs on Kali Yuga. I mean, this is this vibration going out from the Bhagavatam. This has never been done before, this kind of mass distribution of Bhagavatam, because, you know, the printing press is fairly new in the scheme of history, and this mass distribution, which was inspired by Bhaktivinoda and Srila Bhaktisiddhanta and Srila Prabhupada, is, you know, something that we're right in the middle of it. We don't know what the effect of this whole thing's going to be, but it's massive what's happening right now. So, I mean, you know, we're already seeing the effects that people that are all turned around in different ways and tied in knots by all these weird philosophies, and there's so many cheaters out there. And that have no knowledge or have misinformation, and they're propagating it like anything. You know, when people get a hold of the Bhagavatam, it's just such a revelation and so powerful, and it's the only hope, you know, to bring that light. Krishna svadhamo pagate dharma ganadi bisaha kalunascha dushamesha purar narkodanodita. It's the light in the age of Kali. So keep dropping bombs, Malini. Hare Krishna.
Thank you, Prabhuji. Thank you for
thank you very much. Thanks for allowing me. Hare Krishna. Thank you very much. We'll end it there so everyone can get early rest and get up and chant very attentive, prayerful rounds before the sun comes up and feel the great happiness of life, which is feeling that there's nothing else to be had within the 14 worlds. As soon as that feeling passes through one's mind and heart, one can fully embrace the holy name and feel real satisfaction. Om Tat Sat. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna, Guampa. Hare Krishna, Guampa.
Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.
Can everyone please say Hare Krishna?
Hare Krishna.
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 Hare
Krishna. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.